Welcome back, everyone, to the Everything Bagel podcast. This is the first episode of our October series.
Ayo.
Welcome into October.
Yes.
This is Shelby.
And this is Emily.
Sweet.
Okay. Yes.
We're in our vampire era.
Yes, right and now. Our vampire era, our spooky season era. We've been planning our October episodes for so long.
For a while now. We're excited. So if you don't like spooky stuff, you might not enjoy this month's episodes.
If you don't like spooky stuff, you're wrong.
You're wrong. We love spooky stuff. We seriously do.
Yes, and yes, we're in our vampire era, and I love it. I love that we are reading about vampires and watching vampires.
Yes.
So that's what this today's... hello? This today?
That's what this today's episode... If you kept going, I wouldn't have noticed, honestly.
Oh, good. That's what today's episode is about. Mostly about Blood and Ash and Kingdom of Flesh and Fire, which are the first two books of... From Blood and Ash series that Shelby and I just finished.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking about that. But first...
Give us an update on what you have watched in Vampire Diaries.
Okay.
It's probably been a minute. I feel like it's been a minute since you've watched. Yeah. But you're on season two now.
I'm in season two. I don't know what episode I'm on. There are a lot of episodes in each season.
There are. There's like 22 episodes.
I feel like I'm around 8. Oh, okay. Or something.
So you're pretty far into it.
Yeah. So
this season, do you think it's better than season one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Season one was very cheesy.
Yeah. It's hard to watch, but.
But then this season gets a little bit better.
This season is better.
What's
Catherine's
happening?
Back. Oh. Okay. So that's been very confusing because you just don't ever really know who's who.
Yeah.
But you do. You know.
And props to Nina Dobrev. Yeah. Her acting skills are very underrated because she, and you'll get to see this the more that you watch, she plays like multiple characters. Like there's more doppelgangers that come into it, but she has to be like Elena, acting like Elena while she's Catherine, or like acting like Catherine while she's Elena.
That's wild that how she can do that.
And you can totally tell.
Like the fact that you know as a watcher.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the wardrobe and hair and makeup.
That helps.
But the fact that we can tell when Nina is acting as Catherine acting as Lena. Like, what?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Catherine always has, like, the super curly hair, and Elena's is straight. Her hair is gorgeous. And I have to wonder if she had extensions for that show.
Yeah, is that her real hair? Because I'm so jealous.
Your hair is just as good as that.
No, stop. Oh! Anyways, you know what I was thinking, though, while watching this? That Nina gets to kiss a lot of guys, make out with a lot of guys.
She does.
Because she's Catherine and Elena.
Have you met...
And I'm like, holy moly.
Have you met, what's his name, Tyler's uncle?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when she made out with him as Catherine. I was like, Nina just kisses so many guys.
I did not like that pairing. Well, first of all,
she was just using him.
Yeah, gets with him to use him, and he's just... doesn't even notice.
No, he's dead. Did he die? Okay, so I'm trying to think about what happened. He was
so you know
was
that he
him.
Was a werewolf, right?
Yeah.
And when that came into play, I was like, what? This is so cliche. I don't like this, but I actually was obsessed with it. The more that you get into it, you're like, okay,
what's
like
up with vampires and werewolves always being together?
I
can't
know.
Have a story about vampires without werewolves.
No, you can't.
Is that just like an unspoken rule of vampire
fantasy? I don't know. But then there's like Teen Wolf, and that's about werewolves, but there's no vampires.
Okay. So basically, the rule of thumb here is...
if you have vampires, then you have to have werewolves. But then there's like Quicksilver that has vampires and there's no werewolves.
Oh, there's vampires in Quicksilver?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But... I mean, I'm only one book in, and she's, like, writing the next book, so.
All right. Who knows? What, she's going to put werewolves in the next book?
I know. I feel like she'll have to. The vampires aren't super relevant, though. Like, they're not in the story a ton right now. It's more just, like, Faye. Mm.
Just one more thing about Vampire Diaries. Just okay. Where I'm at. I'm remembering. Because what party were they at? Some sort of
I don't know. Party. They always have a party or a dance going on.
And everyone... As in Damon, Stefan, Elena's brother, Bonnie, and Caroline were all in on this scheme to trick Catherine. Mm-hmm. So they basically set a trap for Catherine, and now Catherine is in captivity. Which I'm like, finally, because she's so annoying.
Did they put her in the tomb?
I thought she was in their, like, basement.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
She's in they the put tomb. They put a lot of people in... their basement.
In the basement.
And they usually have, like, vervain in there.
Yeah. But Catherine has become, like, immune to vervain.
Yeah, because she's, like, slowly intaking it.
Question about that, because I was watching it thinking, if Catherine can do that, why doesn't everyone do that?
Yeah.
So that everyone is immune to vervain. Like, that seems like a superpower.
Because it's literally... poisonous, and when they drink it, it burns.
Yeah, so it's difficult, and probably took a really, really long
time.
Still, I'm like, why didn't Damon and Stefan do that?
Yeah, well, you'll see that kind of comes into play a little bit more. Okay. They just, like, they're not as smart as her. They didn't think about it.
But they know now, so why don't they do it now?
I know. They will. They eventually will.
Oh, okay, good. Okay.
And then mad at it. They learned
from her. I'm like, are they stupid?
No.
Okay, good.
What do you think about Caroline, her little character arc?
I love that she is a vampire now.
She's like, so much better as a vampire, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she's way more likable. She's not just, like, this annoying, dumb blonde.
Yeah.
She's got way more, like, depth to her as a vampire, so I like that. And then her mom, The sheriff just found out from who rats them out? Tyler?
I don't remember.
Someone rats out Stefan and Damon to her.
Okay.
So now she knows that they're vampires.
Okay.
And Caroline. She just found out that also Caroline.
And she's, like, so sad about it, right?
Yeah.
She's like, what happened to my little girl? Has Caroline's dad come back yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, okay, now I want to watch it. But
it's good.
Anyways,
then there's season 3, and season 3 is so good.
I know. I just need to make it through season 3, and then we'll see if I keep watching.
Yeah. Honestly, watch season 3 and 4. Well, maybe not 4.
I'm not watching past season 3 until you watch 3 episodes of Downton Abbey.
I know. Okay, I haven't watched anything like just me. Since I started reading, so it's always Abe and I watch stuff together. Yeah. I don't ever watch anything by myself. And so...
Well, you should.
I know. But he's like, he wants to watch Downton Abbey. Okay. And so every time I recommend it, he's like, maybe we could watch something else. And I'm like, okay, do you want to watch it with me or do you not? Because I will watch it without you if you don't want to. And then he's like, well, my mom really loves that show, so it must be really good. And I'm like, it is really good.
Tell,
like,
Abe let's he's watch messing it. With my plans.
I know. I will. I will tell
Put him. Down your foot. Say, Abe, we're going to watch this tonight or I'm going to watch it by myself. You choose.
I'm forcing him to watch Haunting of Hill House with me again, though.
Yeah. I was watching it last night. Dallin came home and was watching it with me, too. He loves that show. It's so good. Oh. We're going to do an episode on Haunting of Hill House next week. Ooh. We're rewatching it, and we're going to talk all about it, because that show...
So if you haven't watched it...
Watch it now.
Go watch it.
Perfect season.
Yes. Should we get into anything else about Vampire Diaries?
That's it.
Okay. Let's kind of just give a brief, like, non-spoiler about the From Blood and Ash series.
Okay.
So, as you know, this is a vampire series. It's like, if Twilight and Vampire Diaries had a baby with ACOTAR, that's kind of how I imagine it being.
Yeah. So, it's a vampire romantasy book series, basically.
Yeah.
So, I would describe it.
You go.
Oh, okay. No, you go.
You go. So there we have our main character, Penelope, and she is the maiden. She is the chosen. And we don't really know like why she was chosen, mm-hmm. but she has like very strict rules she has to follow, and they're in, where do they start? Macedonia?
I believe so, yeah.
And it's kind of this place that isn't super well off, you could say. Like, there's not much, like, not technology, but, like, they haven't progressed a lot.
Yeah.
So,
it's kind of giving, like, Red Keep in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Just not in the way that it's that, like, it's, they're not royalty.
Yeah.
But just in the way that they live in a very nice keep.
Yeah.
Do they call it a keep?
Uh-huh.
They live in a really nice keep castle, and then the rest of the city is just dirt poor.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of slums.
Yeah, exactly. So there's, like, the super poor people and then the super rich people. There's kings and queens,
mm-hmm.
princesses, princes. We find out that, I can't remember the name of the king and the queen, but their son that is supposed to become king is, like, named the Dark One. And so there's a lot mm-hmm. of people that follow him, and then a lot of people that follow the Ascended is what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's kind of in the land of Ascended,
yeah.
and she's almost to age where she is supposed to ascend, and that kind of means that she's going to be a part of this group and
right.
have, not like powers, but yeah. Doesn't, yeah. Don't they get immortality once they ascend?
Yes.
Or something like that?
Yes, they do.
But yeah, what else?
Non-spoiler,
would you say we could give them?
I don't know as far as non-spoilers.
I know, though. I like don't want to give too much away. But I do want to convince people to read it because it's good. It's yeah. a really good. If you like fantasy, romantasy, anything vampires, definitely read this because it's way better. I didn't read Twilight, but I watched it.
Yeah.
It's way better than Twilight. I've yeah. heard people say that the books are better than the Twilight books, or these books from Blood and Ash.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's better than Vampire Diaries.
They're really good. I've really liked these books.
And each book just keeps getting better and better. Like, we start off on a really good note with the first From Blood and Ash book, and then each book mm-hmm. just keeps getting better.
Yeah.
So, read it.
We've started book three, so that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
So we're just gonna talk about the first two books.
Yes.
And
we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. So we're gonna get into spoilers
Let's
of these books.
Get
so
into it.
If you don't want spoilers, then bye bye. See you next time.
Or if you're planning on not reading it, just keep listening. Enjoy the ride.
Yes.
Okay. So right away, the first chapter was very scandalous.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
a way.
I was like, oh, it's this kind of book. Okay.
Uh-huh. Like,
but yeah.
Right away. And I was like, whoa.
But it definitely pulls you in because there's a lot of mystery and you have so many questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the theme of the whole first book.
Yeah.
You kind of don't really understand what's happening the whole first book.
Yeah.
And then the second book gives you a lot of answers.
Did you feel like the first book was very different than the second and third so far?
I mean, yeah, because in a way, the first book was just setting us up.
Uh-huh.
And spoiler.
And a lot of things change.
Yes. So can we spoil? Because we're in spoilers. Can we yeah. spoil the first book?
Yes.
Like, you just find out at the end that it basically everything that she was taught and everything that you know, because it's
a
in
lie.
Her perspective, is a lie.
Uh-huh.
So then everything changes. So yeah, in that way, it is a lot different than the other two books because she doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
She's literally learning. She's having firsts for a lot of things, mm-hmm. right? Because she's been so, the color Poppy. Penelope, Poppy. She's been so guarded her whole life and protected, and she's basically not allowed to think for herself, choose things for herself. She can't leave the keep. She can't read books that aren't the history of Macedonia.
Yeah.
She can't touch anyone. She can't show people her face besides a select few. Yeah.
Unless she's told
yeah,
to.
Yeah, she can only speak to certain people. So she's basically hasn't experienced anything, does only knows what she's been told, and she's basically brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know from the very beginning of the book that she's a little bit rebellious and she doesn't follow the rules that she's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So she sneaks out of the keep one night.
And goes to the Red Pearl.
Yes.
Which is basically a brothel.
Basically.
But they're weren't there people like gambling and stuff?
Yeah, there so too? They're playing card games, gambling, mm-hmm. and doing lots of other fun stuff.
So she kind of goes to experience life, is what she calls yeah. it, and then she ends up going to like one of the upstairs rooms, and she meets this character named Hawk.
Yes, who she knows who she is.
Yeah,
because he's part of the Royal Guard. Is that what they call yeah. him?
Yeah, but at first you don't know if he does know who she is.
Well, she knows who he is what I'm saying.
Oh, yes.
So she
yes.
immediately knew who he was when she went into the room because yeah. he's the new, young, attractive yeah. guard that was like, just hired on.
This is Hawk.
Yeah, but she has her face, she has a mask on, so she's kind of assuming he doesn't know who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And he initially thinks, so she's running from her guard
mm-hmm.
who walks in, and so she tries to get away and she goes upstairs and runs into Hawk.
And then they have a moment.
Yeah.
They talk.
Yeah, and they start making out.
They kiss.
Yeah.
And that was her first kiss ever.
Yep.
So that's where the book starts off. Yep. But then did you realize that the guard or the man that came and like told Castiel, like, oh, I need you immediately. That was Kieran.
Yeah, and where did they go?
I don't know.
What was so important? Because Kieran only does that if it's, like, urgent, you know?
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't know if we even know yet.
I don't think so,
yeah. And I've actually been thinking about that. Like, what was so important?
Uh-huh. That Kieran, he needed to...
Yeah. And we don't meet Kieran until much later. And now...
I really like the best Kieran.
Characters. If he dies, I will riot. I will riot.
Oh, I don't even want to think about any of these characters
he's,
dying.
Because he's giving Liam, and I think I just have trauma, and I have trust issues because of Rebecca Yarros in Fourth Wing and Iron Flame.
Kieran
so.
kind of reminds me of Lucien as well.
Does he have red hair?
No.
No.
Okay. He has dark skin. Friend. But yeah, he's like the friend.
Oh,
he
that's
gives
right.
information, and he's like a little bit standoffish, like a little bit, but he's also a very forward, Liam was.
That's true. He does give a lot of information to the female main character, kind of like Lucien did.
Mm-hmm.
Like tells her things about the love interest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, there are a lot of parallels there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like Liam did that. Like, he wasn't like, let me tell you all these things about Zayden.
No.
He just was friends with her.
But he, like, did not care. Like, wasn't there one time where Liam was in Violet's room and she was like, why are you in here? Or am I thinking of Kieran? Because there was a moment where...
No, there were some times when Kieran...
Poppy saw Kieran, like, fully nude.
Yes.
And she was like, what? Well, and he's like, do you have a problem?
In the third book, you haven't read this yet, but he shifts, and before Kieran shifts, he strips down naked. And so uh-huh. Poppy's like, I know I shouldn't be watching, but I'm like very fascinated by like when he shifts because it's really cool to watch. So
yeah.
She's like, I know, like I shouldn't, like, but no, Kieran literally doesn't care because
yeah.
he's been around for a while and people see him shift and it's like he's just kind of like whatever.
Yeah, and it seems like he has a pretty good bod, so why yeah. would you be afraid to yeah. show that?
But there was one time I think where he shifted back mm-hmm. and Poppy happened to be there and she was like freaking out because she's like, what the heck?
Yeah, put some clothes on.
I just saw him fully nude.
Well, and there was one time.
And he's like, what's the problem?
Literally, there was one time where he shifted back and she was like, where are your pants? And he's like, I don't know, sometimes they just come off, you know? And she's like, well, the last time your pants were still on, like they stayed on. And he's like, maybe they were just stretchier, I don't know.
I don't remember that. That's hilarious. I was not paying good attention apparently during that scene.
But in the first few chapters, we kind of get a little glimpse that Poppy, our main character, her full name, well, what is her full name? Penelope something. I don't know her last name. And her nickname is Poppy. So that's who we're referring to. She has some type of power,
yes.
but we don't really know what it is yet. And whew, is there a lot that happens with that?
Yeah. So she's has the ability to sense people's emotions, essentially.
Yeah.
Then
we meet her best friend, Tawny.
Yes.
Which, always love a good best
yes.
friend character. And she's definitely giving that, like, overly excited friend.
Yeah. Best friend, loves to gossip. Mm-hmm. And
Tawny is assigned to Poppy. Mm-hmm. So there is a little bit of an internal struggle with Poppy being like, she's my only friend and she's my best friend.
But is she a true friend?
But is she just here because she was stationed here to be my... Is she like her lady's maid or something?
That's what I was confused. Like, who is she? They just
call her a companion.
Yeah.
But at one point, the Duchess gets mad at Poppy for being too close with Tawny.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Kate, you're giving her a companion, but she can't be too close.
Yeah.
There are just so many rules for Poppy to follow. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just a manipulation tactic to get her to just to be just easily manipulated.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So we kind of get into, like, what's going on in the city and in this world. And at the very first, there's this character that dies. And there's, like, people that are dying and they have bite marks on them. And I loved this part, like, where you're wondering, like, oh, okay, what is it?
Yeah.
You know, like,
because we are, like, obviously it's a vampire.
Yeah. Like, we know. But
they don't say that word in the book.
No.
And they definitely haven't said anything.
Yeah.
That resembles it. Which is interesting. Yet.
And we will get into all of the different types of them, but I really liked that part. You're like, oh, there's two holes in their neck, I wonder what that could be.
You're like, clearly it's some fangs.
Yeah, clearly.
But we're trying to figure out, like, why is this happening, who's doing it, etc.
What's happening, because we're really learning. And that's another thing that I loved about this book, is it's first person, so you're on this journey with Poppy.
Yeah.
While she's discovering all of this stuff.
Yeah.
I love first person. It really brings you into the story, and you feel like you are that character.
Yeah. I like being able to hear their internal dialogue and their thoughts. And
yeah.
Okay. And then Rylan is one of Poppy's guards. Rylan and Victor. Victor, yeah. She's had for forever. He's older. And then Rylan. And she has a good relationship with Rylan. We like him.
Victor is kind of like her father figure. And there's, like, moments where she feels connected to him in that way. And there's more that we could talk about further on. But, yeah, that's all I'll say about that right now.
Yeah.
He's basically like her father. And he teaches her how to fight when she's not supposed to. But because she had this experience when she was younger, where she got attacked by Kraven, which are probably the creatures that are biting these people, killing these people, her and her family got attacked. And so she's like, I need to learn how to defend myself and fight. And Victor is the one that helps her learn all of that and kind of takes her under his wing.
Yeah.
And then we get into where Rylan dies. There were a lot of characters that died in this book.
Yeah.
And I kind of was glad, because I'm like, there's so many different people. And then, like, halfway through the book, they all died.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I don't need to remember them.
You don't have to remember too many people. There are a lot of characters in this book, especially in the second and third book. I started to get a little confused.
Yeah.
But first book is good.
Yeah. But her guard dies, so she needs a new guard, and this is when Hawk becomes her main
guard. And when this happens, I was like,
ooh,
okay, I'm intrigued by the storyline. Yes. I was like, forced proximity trope, which I love, and obviously we like him because he's attractive and they already kiss.
And the name Hawk. I really like the name Hawk.
Yeah. Cool name.
But you're still, like, iffy. You're like, who is this guy?
He's very mysterious, for sure. Yeah,
what's going on? But, like, I like him. And I feel like this would be a good time to bring this up. There's random moments where she's like, why doesn't he, like, fully smile? And he has a dimple. Like, he has one dimple in this book.
Yeah.
Because he'll do, like, a side smile. And she, like, will sometimes notice that one of his teeth are kind of sharp. You know? And then there's, like, other things where she'll be like, he seems a lot older than what he says he is or what he looks like yeah, he is.
Like the way he talks.
Uh-huh.
Like he seems
like older. He seems very.
Or I was laughing so hard at the parts where she was like, how did he move so fast?
Yes.
Because it's giving Edward in Twilight. Yes. Or she's like, I literally can't see anything. It's so dark and he can see everything. She's like, how does he see?
Yeah.
And so there's moments points, like that I knew.
Where it makes you question. You're like, he has to be something. Yeah. And my prediction was that he was what the wolves. Why did I just
a wolven?
That? A wolven. Yeah. Yes. I was going to say a wolverine, but that was not right. A
wolverine. Yeah. So in this book, they call werewolves are basically wolven. So they call them wolven. But I did predict that Hawk was an Atlantean.
Uh-huh.
So an Atlantean is described, they're, you know, look human, but they're essentially vampires.
Yeah. But they don't have like a crazy bloodlust. And then there's the Kraven that do.
Kraven in my head are like zombies.
Yeah. They're like zombie vampires basically. Yeah. Because they drink blood and they kill when they drink.
They're scary. They're scary monsters. They don't really have a, like a mind. They're just.
Yeah.
Gonna kill you if they see you.
Mm-hmm.
But Atlanteans, from Poppy's point of view, are very dangerous. And, you know, they're not as easily identified because they seem more human.
And she's always been taught that she should stay away from them.
Yeah. So people start talking, like, what is killing all these people in the keep? How are they getting in? Are they Kraven? And then some people are like, I think they are Atlanteans. And they're just like, no way. Also, Wolven, she doesn't think they exist, right?
I don't remember. I don't remember when she. I'm pretty
sure she was taught that they are like extinct or they were just folklore.
That sounds right. And then kind of same with Atlanteans,
too. Yeah, I was wondering if it was Atlanteans, too. So Atlanteans and Wolven are just, like, she doesn't even think that they're real.
They're not real. Yeah.
Anyways, we'll come back to that stuff a little bit later.
Let's talk about the Duke.
Oh.
I don't even remember his name, but he's the worst.
Literally the worst.
Man, like, he's very manipulative, very controlling. He has to control every single thing that Poppy does and says.
Yeah.
She breaks one of the rules and he calls her into his office and whips her.
Yeah.
And then there's like a moment where Hawk is like, what, like, what did he do? Like, did he hurt you? Do I need to intervene, you know? And she's like, no, I'm fine. Like, he's putting me in my place.
Yeah.
You know? And so and you so hate that man.
Oh, yeah, you hate him.
But how did you feel about the Duchess at first? Because I was like, she kind of seems like she's also being controlled and, like, she would be on Poppy's side.
Yeah. It was very confusing. I didn't really have opinions on the Duchess, like, neither here nor there.
Yeah. Because I liked her at first, and I was like, she could be a good character. Yeah.
Well, it didn't give you any reason not to like her.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, I know what this is.
Okay.
Well, when Hawk is assigned to be her guard.
Yes.
They have her unveil her face in front of him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we learn late. Well, okay, so later Hawk tells Poppy, I knew it was you. So she's getting nervous. She's like, I need to hide the fact that it was me and the Red Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks she's doing a good job of hiding her identity, that like she's not the same person that was in the Red Pearl that kissed him.
Well, in this whole time, I'm like, how does Hawk not know?
Yeah, you're kind of like,
is
how?
He dumb?
Yeah. But later we find out that he's known the whole time.
Yeah.
He just pretended like he didn't. But once he earns her trust after a little bit, he's like, I think she brought it up. She's like, did you know it was me? And he's like, yeah, when you unveiled your face, I recognized you.
Yeah.
But he was kind of lying because he knew who she was from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And the Red Pearl. But yeah, so now he knows, I think that's why you wrote that note, is now he knows who she is because she showed her face to him.
Yeah, and now she knows that he knows. there's a moment where, so there's kind of this push and pull between Poppy and Hawk, and it's like, it's this slow burn. in this first mm-hmm. book, and you're just like, oh, like, what's gonna happen? I want something mm-hmm. to happen between them. And so Poppy asks Hawk to kiss her.
Yeah, under the willow tree.
Yes. Oh, all of the trees in the forest. I want to talk about those.
And can we talk about the parallel between this kiss under the willow tree and in Powerless under the willow tree?
Oh.
That's when, like, he spills wine or something on his shirt and they get pulled. He, like, pulls her into the willow tree. That's and they have right. a moment. I don't think they kiss, but something important happens but there.
Are you talking in Powerless?
Yes.
And that's when he undoes her dress, right?
Yes.
That part,
because she can't breathe. Oh yeah, because she's like she's like having a panic attack. So he like loosens her dress, so,
and she's like, why did you and do that?
I was listening, I was reading Powerless and listening to this, I think, at one point uh-huh. or close to each other, so I was honestly getting confused because the two willow trees, I was like, wait,
love
who did what where in what willow trees. Tree
who did what where what willow who
anyways, so yeah, this whole time you're like, just kiss, and mm-hmm. finally Poppy is like, please kiss me,
and then Victor catches them.
And is this the moment? Hold on,
you need to go to your notes. Can I just talk about briefly though?
Oh, my notes are right here.
The Blood Forest. I don't know if we've gotten to the part where they go through that yet.
No.
It's so That's... cool. Can we just talk about that, though?
Yeah.
Where, like, the leaves are red.
Mm-hmm.
Are the... I can't remember what color the trunks are, but were they white?
I'm not sure.
I don't know if it described that, but the leaves are red, so it's like the Blood Forest.
Mm-hmm. But the trees literally drip blood.
Yeah.
Right?
Or I don't know if it's blood, but it's, like... It's red. Okay. Like, everything's just basically red and not green. And it's also snowing. This whole time in this series so far, it's, like, winter time. So there's this contrast of white and red. And it's actually kind of interesting because that's exactly Poppy. Like, she has super fair skin and red hair. So, like, it's like she's the snow and the blood at the same time.
I literally always forget that she has red hair.
Really?
I cannot picture her with red hair. It's so hard for me.
Well, in the first book, she's veiled the whole time. Yes. So you really don't know.
Yeah, you don't see her hair.
But in the cover, there's the red leaves on the book. And then this isn't really a spoiler for the second book, but since I'm kind of on this topic, I want to talk about it. I don't remember the name of the forest that they were in the second book, but the leaves are golden. And that's what's on the cover of the second book.
Mm.
And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, that's so cool.
What does the third book look like? Because I just read a part where they're going through a forest.
I think it's like kind of these combined. Like, there's black, red, and gold on the third book.
Ooh.
But I can't remember.
Okay, this is where my notes start in chapter 25.
Okay.
So I don't know how we can combine these. But in chapter 25, she's like, please... kiss me.
Mm-hmm.
And Hawk says, gods, you don't have to ask me twice, princess, and you never have to beg.
Oh,
I was like, okay, that was a good line. We like that.
Yes.
Immediately, so they have this moment and it's like so special and romantic and he's so respectful and you start to really like him.
Yeah,
because you realize this whole time, like, he's been into her but he hasn't made a move.
Mm-hmm.
He was waiting for her to ask him, and I'm like, okay, we like the respect.
Yes.
Immediately after, they leave the willow tree and they run into Victor, and this part broke my heart because Poppy's like so happy that she finally chose this thing for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And Victor is so mad at them.
Yeah.
And she loves Victor, you know, he's kind of like a father figure like we talked about, so...
But he, like, really is looking for Poppy's best interest. Totally. So he's like, why would you do that to yourself? Like, you're totally. Making yourself unworthy. And that's kind of the whole thing that Poppy is dealing with in this first book is, like, I want to experience life, but I have to stay worthy because I'm the maiden, I'm mm-hmm. the chosen, and I'm supposed to ascend.
Mm-hmm.
But keep going.
So chapter 26, like, right after, they run into Victor.
Yeah.
And then he dies.
Yeah. Oh.
I was not well. So how does he die? Who kills him?
I can't remember totally, but I think it might have been the Duke. I could be so wrong.
I don't remember. All I have in here is that Victor dies in chapter 26, And then in that same chapter, I think, she kills Lord Mazeen.
Oh, okay.
Lord Mazeen is like the Duke's right-hand man. Uh-huh. And he is the worst. He gives creepy, crawly vibes. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that, like, will hold her down on the table while the Duke would hit her with his cane.
Yeah.
So you don't like him. And this is where she gets her vengeance. And this was so satisfying. Mm-hmm. When she killed Lord Mazeen.
Yeah.
I just, so it was just
Poppy,
so good.
It was Poppy that killed Lord Mazeen. Right?
Yes, right?
And how did she kill him? Did she stab him? Because that's kind of like her theme. Or is the...
Yeah.
What would you call him? Not knives,
so she, daggers. She kind of goes crazy. And she just... She just... All of her pent-up anger, like, comes out. Mm-hmm. And she kills him. And nobody knows that she can fight and defend herself. Mm-hmm. So that's to her advantage at this point. Because she's able to kill him pretty easily.
I would go crazy, too. Being controlled and confined. And... just these men. There were parts in this when Lord Mazeen and the Duke were like punishing her, or what's the term I'm looking for? Anyway, punishing her. And I was like, are they about to like rape her? Yeah. Like there were moments where I was like, I don't know if I can keep reading this. Like this is terrible. But then they would just like whip her. But like they would literally lay her on the table. And I'm like, oh, this is scary.
Yeah, it was pretty disturbing.
Like I do not like this.
So it was very satisfying when she got her vengeance on Lord Mazeen.
Mm-hmm. Keep going with your notes.
My next note says the beginning of chapter 33.
Okay, what's that?
I don't know. We look.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There we go.
So, before we talk about what happens in chapter 33, there is one monumental moment where they find the Duke dead. And isn't he, like, speared with...
Oh, right.
What he would hit her with?
Yes.
And so...
So, he's basically nailed to the wall with his own cane. He's up for
display. Yeah. Yes. And... You're kind of like, yes, like, finally.
Isn't this the same party? So, like, they're having a party, then things start getting crazy. They're basically under attack.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't, I'm trying to remember. Is this the party where they go to the willow tree?
Probably.
Where she wants to leave early?
I'm not totally sure, but all of that does kind of happen around the same time.
Anyways, yeah.
But this might be a different. It might be a different party. A different party. But it's basically like everyone that follows the Dark One, like all of the rebels, you could say, are like attacking, and mm-hmm. we see that the Duke is dead,
mm-hmm.
and
which is very satisfying. And when it, sorry,
no, you're good
to interrupt you, but when it said that he had been killed by his own cane, mm-hmm. I knew in that moment that it was Hawk, because Hawk had questioned Poppy about what happens with the Duke, and uh-huh. he was, you could tell that he was livid about what the Duke was doing to her with his cane. And so I just
My head, I was like, it was the Dark One. It was Castile. Because in my head, I was like, they are connected. Like, Hawk is working for the Dark One, uh-huh. working for the Prince Castile. And he told him, and somehow, like, throughout the book, you're kind of like, this Castile guy knows who Poppy is, and he kind of is a little bit, like, fond of her. And so I was like, it was him. Like, he did it. But then we come to find out that...
They are the same.
We were both right.
Everyone was right. Hawk, Castile, the Dark One.
But I love that they said, from blood and ash, we will rise. And so that's kind of like the theme going into the series. Like
the rebels keep saying that.
Yeah, basically. They're taking over again.
Is
it in this book that Poppy goes and asks the Duchess, like, do you know more about my powers? Like, what's happening?
Well, yeah, it has to be in this book. Because the next book, she doesn't trust the Duchess anymore.
Okay. So she goes to the Duchess and she, like, asks her if she knows about her powers. And she said that because there's, like, more that's happening with her powers, like, regarding what she can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wanted to see if the Duchess could give her some answers. And basically, what the Duchess says is that the same thing happened to the previous maiden, but the previous maiden became unworthy and the Dark One killed her. Mm-hmm. Right? And so then the Duchess tells her she has to go to Carcedonia, which is the capital, and then they are on their way. Mm-hmm. And then this is when they travel through the Blood Forest.
Yes. So she leaves with Hawk.
Mm-hmm.
And
he, some other people.
He, like, basically chooses who comes with them.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, I need this person and this person.
That was a good
that
pop.
That was nice. Whew. Neck pop.
Neck pop.
So they leave. My next note is when they get to New Haven.
Okay.
And Poppy still doesn't know who Hawk is at this point.
Yeah.
The beginning of chapter 33 is when she asks him to stay.
Mm-hmm.
When he's like, okay, good night. She's like, can you stay with me?
And then he's like, which is interesting because are you sure? In the first chapter, he was like, don't leave. Like, I'll be back and I want you to stay.
Oh, I never thought about that.
So now
parallel.
She's like, I want you to stay.
Yeah. So they have this moment together and then things go
but
crazy.
Can I talk
after
about
this?
Can I talk about this for a second?
Yeah, yeah.
So first reading this, we don't know who Hawk is, okay? We just know that he's Hawk and he's this guard. And in other series, when you are a guard, a soldier, whatever, like, you pledge loyalty to your kingdom, whoever you're fighting for, and he pledged his loyalty to Poppy, and usually that includes not sleeping with anyone, right? Yeah. And so this kind of made me mad that he I don't know, took advantage of her, you could say, and mm-hmm. like made her unworthy, because he knows that she's the maiden and she needs to stay worthy in mm-hmm. order to ascend. And so it just kind of made me mad that he didn't honor that. But then we figure out why.
No, that's a good point.
He doesn't care.
He is very, like, promiscuous. And not just in that way, but, like, encouraging her to do what she wants.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he's kind of encouraging her to break the rules.
Yeah.
And so you're kind of trying to figure out if he's a good guy or a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, after they sleep together in New Haven, I think it is, when they're on their way to Carcedonia. Is that where they're going?
Yeah.
Phillips is one of her guards, her other new guard.
Yeah. And this man is very loyal. Like, he is ride or die for Poppy.
And yeah, and this guy, I wanted to talk about how when Hawk got sworn in, usually they pledge their loyalty to the maiden.
Oh, and he pledged it to
Penelope. So I love that. So, right. Like, he has no oath to protect the maiden or protect her worthiness. He's like, all I care about is Penelope.
That
so
makes
for
so
that
much
reason,
sense.
I kind of like, oh, I liked him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I really liked that he just cares about her.
Yeah.
And he'd proven that. And so we're starting to like him. Then everything gets flipped upside down right after this. So chapter 34, Phillips runs to her room to rescue her and finds Kieran in the hallway, who turns into a werewolf,
mm-hmm.
a wolven.
And so this is when we
figure
Poppy
out. And Poppy is freaking out because she doesn't even think those things are real.
Yeah, and so now she realizes, I just had a stroke. She realizes that the wolven are real and that Kieran is a wolven.
Yeah. And Phillips starts to figure everything out. He's like, something's not right here. The people that are the Duke and Duchess
with.
Of New Haven aren't
oh,
here.
Yes.
And he's basically figured out that everybody here is Atlantean, and mm-hmm. it was a trap. And so he starts freaking out. He's trying to save Poppy. He has great intentions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's just been brainwashed by
the
Ascended just like she has. I think Kieran kills Phillips in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're like, what is happening? And you're trying to figure out at the same time as Poppy, who is telling
who
the truth?
Who can I trust?
Who's lying? Who do I trust? What is happening? And I don't know why I wrote this note, but I was like, am I reading Twilight? I think it's because once I saw the werewolf, I was like, what's happening?
There's vampires, there's
Twilight?
Werewolves.
Yeah. And then in chapter 35, we find out for sure Hawk is Atlantean.
Mm-hmm.
And in the next few chapters, we kind of learn everything. so she's told that the Ascended are actually vampires.
Yep.
Is what they call them. Vampires are bad. Mm-hmm. They don't have a soul, mm-hmm. basically. They don't feel emotion.
They can't go out during the day.
Yes, they can't go out during the day. Which is interesting. So they're basically like bad vampires.
But it's interesting with the they can't go out in the day because that's like the whole vampire thing. You know, they'll burn or in Twilight, they yeah. glow or twinkle, sparkle. Twinkle.
Twinkle.
And
twinkle, Edward.
We... This whole time, we've thought that they don't go out during the day because they're honoring the gods, and because the gods are asleep, and they can't go out during the day. So uh-huh. that's why they don't. But yeah. we actually find out the greater reason. And so she's kind of, like, mind blown
right.
in this moment. Because and so her whole life you as has a reader.
Been a lie.
Mm-hmm. So she doesn't really know what to believe, but she... like has really been trusting Hawk this whole time, and now she's kind of like, well, I don't know, like, I don't know what to believe. I don't know if I can trust right. you. I've been taught all of this stuff my whole life. And I mean, we kind of talked about the difference between all of the different yeah. types of vampires, but there's, let's just kind of briefly yeah. explain it. So there's the vampires, which are mm-hmm. the Ascended.
Yes, we learn that Ascended are vampires, which are bad, very, mm-hmm. very bad. And they feed off of
humans.
Humans, and they're the ones that create Kraven.
Yeah, and the Kraven are like the zombie vampire yes. things.
And we learn that all the third sons and daughters that the Ascended have been taking to the temple that are supposedly serving the gods,
mm-hmm.
the Ascended are actually just using them to feed off of.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're like, holy moly, the Ascended are the enemy. They're the bad guys.
Yeah.
So everything is flipped upside down.
Yeah. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it the vampires and the Kraven that have like four, that when they bite, there's four marks, and when it's the Atlanteans, it's just two?
I have no idea.
I should know,
but I don't.
I think I read that. I could be totally wrong in making this up, but I'm pretty sure it's the Kraven that make, like, the four bite marks, and then when it's an Atlantean or a vampire, it's just two. And so that's why there's, like, the difference in the beginning, and she's like, this is different than, like, the normal bites, so it could have been, like, an Atlantean or a vampire. Mm-hmm. Anyway, keep going.
We also learn that the vampire, the Ascended, they can't feed off of each other to create more vampire. So... like we talked about, when they drain a mortal, that's what creates Kravens. But the Ascended use Atlanteans for the Ascension.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we don't learn this till later, but Poppy has Atlantean blood. So that's probably why they were saving her, because they were going to use her to ascend.
Mm-hmm.
And then the quote-unquote gods that the Ascended talk about are actually Atlantean gods. Mm-hmm. So basically everything is a lie just to use people and to fill their bloodlust
mm-hmm.
And their keep need going. For blood. But we learn in chapter 38 that Hawk is Castiel, is the Dark One. So yeah. they're all one and the same. And my prediction was that Hawk was the Dark One's brother. But...
Mm-hmm.
So that was my prediction earlier on in the book.
Because they kind of are using each other. Castiel is using Poppy to save his brother, and
yes,
she's also using him.
Yeah.
But yeah, that twist, because I was like, I've seen fan art of Castiel and Poppy, so I yeah. knew that she ended up with Castiel.
Yeah.
But I did not expect them to be the same person, and I was like, how did I not see yeah. this coming? Yeah. Because it's honestly very predictable. But Jennifer, which is the author, we didn't say that, Jennifer L. Armentrout, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Was so good at kind of keeping that hidden and just yeah. giving very, very, very subtle hints
yeah.
that he is the same person. So that was like mind-blowing to me. But did you guess it, that they were the same person?
No, I yeah. thought that he was brothers
yeah.
to the Dark One.
Yeah.
But I didn't put the Prince Castiel thing
mm-hmm.
in there. I thought those three people were all different.
Yeah.
But no, they were all the same.
How do you feel about his nickname, Cass?
I like it.
I like it. I have a hard time because anytime I like read that or hear it, instantly I think of Cassian.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm like, oh, I need to get that out of my head because they're so different.
Yes, they're very different.
But then we finish off this book where Castiel is like, we're going to get married.
Yeah.
Wait, and you're wait, like, can we go back? Yeah, go back.
I skipped some stuff.
Sorry.
When after Poppy finds out all the stuff and realizes that everyone's been lying to her and Hawk has been lying to her.
Yeah.
Because he's Atlantean. She gets so mad. She stabs him in the heart.
That's right.
So she stabs him in the heart. And this scene really took me for a trip because she stabs him in the heart.
Uh-huh.
She runs outside. He catches her immediately. And then just into an immediate spicy scene.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was so confused. And doesn't he drink from happening. Her? Yes.
This is, so this when, is when he figures he out she's Atlantean. Blood
for the first time. And
because we didn't
taste the Atlantean blood.
We didn't explain this, but Atlantean blood heals. So he has this suspicion that she's part Atlantean and has that blood in her. And so she stabs him. She runs out. He catches her. And then he drinks from her. And this scene actually was so good. But also the whole theme of like white and red. Like they're in snow.
Yes.
He bites from her. There's blood everywhere.
Yeah.
It's all over them.
She also stabs him in the heart.
Yes. It's all over them. All over the snow. And I honestly, I lived for that scene, but,
love.
He figures it out and he is healed from her and she's like, wow, how did you heal so fast?
Yeah. And right. And now this is making sense. Cause in the moment I was so confused how she went to stabbing him in the heart to getting down with him in the snow, like in 1 second.
Yeah.
And now I'm realizing that he drank from her.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you get the emotions.
You get
things going on.
Yeah. So that was another part that I was like, whoa. It was like,
yes,
the blood is a drug. Because was it in this book that he gave her his blood?
I think at some point.
I
don't remember.
To like help heal her, he gave her his blood. And it was like she was on a drug. And it makes you like aroused at the same time.
Yes, very.
And I was like, much. Holy crap. I don't think I've ever wanted to drink blood before, but now I do.
We're in our vampire era, okay? We're in our vampire era. I was going to ask you, how did you feel about the name change? Like when we learn that Hawk is Castiel and he starts going by Castiel, how did you feel about that?
It was an adjustment. I mean, just like with Poppy, you're kind of like, I don't know who this man is. Like, I want Hawk. But now he is Castiel and you're just kind of in shock. You know, like what? Who is this man? He seems like a completely different person with this new name.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of an adjustment in the next book, but I got used to it pretty quick.
Yeah, same. And I think in the next book, we then learn that his middle name is Hawk.
Yeah.
So then that like really softens Poppy's heart towards him because she's like, all those times when I called you Hawk, it actually was your name.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't a lie.
Yeah.
So,
and I liked finding that out. Because yes, then that you're was like, a good okay, detail. I wasn't completely lied to. He like didn't you just said.
Lie about his name. He used the name like that his parents call him.
Yeah.
So it was still him. Like he is Hawk.
And then when and we meet his parents, his mom calls him Hawk.
Yeah.
And I'm like, was aww. Like,
I love that.
Okay. Anything about the first book?
No, just what you said, like the ending. He's like, hey, we're going to go to Atlantia.
But
and
one
Poppy
thing,
and I are going to get married. And she's like, excuse me?
One thing.
Was it a proposal?
That made sense to me, and I don't know if this is like a good thought and real, but is when she and her family got attacked by the Kraven, she didn't die because she had Atlantean blood in her.
Yeah.
So she was part Atlantean, and the vampires don't affect them. Or the Kraven don't affect them. But then that gives you the question, are her parents actually her parents?
Yes.
You know, or is like one of her parents hers and they had an affair or whatever? Is her brother a half-brother type of thing?
Yeah. Well, and if she's Atlantean, then one of her parents has to be Atlantean, right?
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. What if, like, she's adopted or something?
Yeah. You know? And, yeah, it comes up a lot in these books, kind of insinuating, well, maybe those parents weren't actually your parents.
Yeah.
And we don't have answers yet as to who her real parents are, but I think...
We will get them, probably.
Yeah, I don't think those were her real parents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so second book, Flesh and Fire.
Sorry this episode is going to be long, but obviously we liked this series and it's good, so hopefully you like it too. We are on to the next book. We're not giving any non-spoilers, so we're getting right into it.
Yep.
It picks up right where it left off from Blood and Ash. They're getting married. They're traveling back home. Castiel calls it home.
Yes.
To Atlantia. So that's like basically the whole goal of this book is they're going to Atlantia. And yes. The amount of times where we're like, let's go to Atlantia. I'm like, what is happening?
They don't get to Atlantia till the very end of this book.
Yeah.
Okay, thoughts on Kieran and Alistair?
I really like Kieran, but it did take a minute for him to warm up to me.
No, I love Kieran.
I liked Alistair, and he's like kind of the equivalent of the Suriel from ACOTAR. Because he
tells her a lot of things.
He tells her a lot of things, but it's also he like doesn't think before he talks.
I think he knows exactly what he's doing. I think he's sabotaging her.
Like think he's trying to be manipulative?
Yes. And okay. I think he's also trying to put a wedge between her and Castiel.
Yeah.
So I think he purposely spills information that is going to cause a rift between them because he's trying to do everything in his power to get them apart.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, that's what was happening. But you don't really realize that till later. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because at first they're trying to keep Alistair away from Poppy.
Yeah.
So you're like, is he bad? Is he good?
Well, and at first he's like, he really cares about her. Like
Or it appears.
It appears. Yeah. He makes sure that it actually is her choice that she wants to marry him. And so you're like, okay, like this is a good man. He has her best interest.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that Alistair tells Poppy is that Castiel was previously engaged to a wolven named Shay, and that was his daughter, Alistair's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, whoa, okay, just got thrown a curveball. Why is Castiel hiding this? And in this book, he kind of does seem to be hiding some things, but it's for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Alistair, like, another reason why you think he's kind of a good man is he really offers her a way out. So he gives her a choice, like, I will help you go back and, like, get away from Castiel if that's what you want.
Right.
But then she decides that her best choice, her best offer is to stay with Castiel because they're kind of using each other.
Yeah.
Then we find out about Castiel and Kieran's bond.
Mm-hmm.
So they were bonded at birth. An elemental Atlantean, which is what Castiel is, that's like pure Atlantean, is usually bonded to a wolven, or a wolven is bonded to them.
Which means that the wolven is going to protect them their whole life.
Yeah. So we find out that they're bonded, and that makes a lot of sense because they're always together. Kieran seems to know a lot of things about Castiel and, like, Castiel and Poppy without, like, even talking to Castiel about it. And that's kind of funny later on because Poppy wonders, like, the logistics of the bond.
Yeah.
And she's like, can you read my mind? Yeah. Like,
she starts getting nervous. She's like, what exactly can you tell?
Yeah, she's like, I don't know if I want you a part of
our
relationship.
It's a little invasive. When Kieran's like, you smell like Castiel.
Uh-huh.
She's like so embarrassed.
Yeah.
It's so funny how Castiel and Kieran just literally don't care about, like, privacy or shame or any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Poppy's like, whoa, this is, like, new.
Mm-hmm. Because she's been in such a bubble her whole life.
But, like, you know, rightly so, I understand that Castiel and Kieran are very, very close. They've been through everything together. They've seen each other through everything. Yeah. But Poppy's new to this mix, so she's like, this is weird. Kieran's just like, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny. But...
And then there's the, Lord Chaney and... They come to attack and they take Poppy, and he kind of goes crazy and he bites her. And she's very uncomfortable because they're like, you need to come back. Like, we need you, because they're basically going to use her. And then this is when Castiel saves her. And honestly, I was like, that happened fast. Like, it was like she was taken and then he saved her right away.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, okay. Okay. But then she stabs Lord Chaney. And,
right. And then he's like, you didn't really need my help, I guess.
Yeah. Gets her revenge. The theme of the dagger and stabbing.
Yes, stabbing.
This, how did you feel about Castiel and Poppy in this book? Because it was like, we all know. Like, we know how you guys feel about each other.
Right.
Like, just freaking tell each other. She doesn't recognize it. And he isn't really being very forward either. But it's like, there's so many parts where they like need each other, you know, in multiple ways, multiple types of ways. But how did you feel about them in this book?
That's a good question. I don't really know how to answer that. I just think Poppy was kind of being a little bit dumb. Like, she did not want to trust him again. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, it's clear that he's a good guy. Like, let's just skip the poutiness and just admit that you're okay with him anyways.
But he was kind of bugging me a little bit too, because he wasn't like saying how much he liked her too. But I feel like he was kind of feeling her out.
Yes.
And
they're giving her space,
seeing what she wanted. But then he kind of tells her, so in this book they have this whole thing of like where they're playing pretend. And they're trying to convince everyone that they do love each other and that they should be engaged. And so he tells her, like, you have to be feisty so that the engagement is believable, you know?
Oh, that's right.
And he's like, you can't act like the maiden, like, act like Poppy. And I actually loved that. Yeah. Like, he was trying to get, like, Poppy as the maiden out of her and, like, real Poppy.
Yeah. I love, because like he saw right through the maiden from the beginning, and he's like, I just like Poppy, like I like who she is, and he's always encouraging her to just be herself and just do what she wants to do and not what the maiden is expected to do.
I did like that. We love a man that brings out your true self.
Yeah, that doesn't want you to be something that you're not. Love that.
And there was one moment, I wrote this down, where Poppy feels like crying when she just thinks about Castiel being dead or gone. So it's like, come on, girl. Like, that is a sign.
Like, you don't need to keep acting like you don't like him.
Yeah, we all know what's going on.
We meet Delano.
There's people say this name so different when just reading it, but in the audio, is it Delano?
Delano.
Okay. I can't remember how one of my friends said she says it, but she was like laughing at how I said it. And I was like, Delano? Delano? Like, people say it so different.
The audiobook says Delano.
Delano.
But, so he's a white wolf. I think we learned to like him. Mm-hmm. More and more as time goes on.
And I'm sure he'll come to play in a lot more. But I loved, like, we have Kieran that's, what is his fur described as? It's, like, dark brown or something.
I don't remember.
And then we have Delano, which is, like, the opposite.
White. Mm-hmm. And Kieran shifts back from wolven form. We talked about this earlier. When she sees him naked, and she's like, hello? And he's like, what? Like,
what? Nothing to see here. You can look if you wanna.
Was this next note, is this when Castiel woke up in bloodlust?
Yeah. Well, like, he needed blood. Yes. Like Atlantean blood. Yes. So Poppy notices that Castiel's pupils are very large and he's not really acting like himself. I wrote, why did I low-key like this? Like, he was like, I need your blood.
Yeah, like he just went ravenous.
And so this is when we, like, really find out what happens when an Atlantean doesn't get other Atlantean blood. And so I can't remember if she gives him her blood. I'm pretty sure she does. She does. In that moment. And it's like another very euphoric scene for them, because when, like, he, it's almost like he's on a drug drinking her blood, but also she is from him drinking her blood.
Yes.
So, like, they're very connected. Mm-hmm. And then we find out, like, about heartmates. We don't really totally find out what they are
Kieran
yet.
Kieran comes in. In my opinion, Kieran is more like the Surreal.
That's true.
Than Alistair, no. But Kieran comes in. Info. So things get a little spicy with Castiel waking up in bloodlust and needing her blood. Kieran hears things, thinks that she's in danger, runs in the room, which I was like, oh! Mm-hmm. He just walked in, ran in the room in the middle of them doing stuff. And he's like, are you okay? And then he was like, oh, I misinterpreted what that sound was. Sorry. I was laughing at that part. He's like, I heard a scream. I just thought you were in danger. And then she's like, it's all good. But then he kind of realizes what's happening and helps. I don't remember exactly what happens, but it is a dangerous place to be in when you haven't fed, like an Atlantean hasn't fed, because he can feed too much on her blood and drain her.
Yeah.
So Kieran essentially helps him stop, I think, and Castiel leaves once he comes to his senses.
Yeah.
So Castiel leaves to, like, regroup himself, and Kieran basically is like, I think you guys are heartmates.
Yeah, and this is the moment where I was like, okay, I was wondering if there was going to be some type of mate.
Yes.
And if they were going to be mates. And I love that it's called Heartmates. And when we get further along, I want to actually read, like, some of the description of that, because I loved I loved the whole
And Heartmates. I had already guessed that they were mates before this, just from, like, other books, like Sarah J. Maas books. I'm like, they're totally mates.
Didn't you think that they were talking mind to mind a little bit?
Yeah. There is a few times where I'm pretty sure they read each other's minds.
Yeah.
So, but
they're just very, like, in tune with each other.
Yeah. But I think I'm getting my books mixed up, but I'm pretty sure she asks him straight up. Yeah, this is this book. And he's like, ask me anything and I'll tell you straight up. And she's like, can you read minds? And he was like, nope. But he's just so connected to her. Like, they have such a strong connection that they can read each other really well. And so for that reason, I was like, they're mates. And they are.
And he technically wasn't lying in that moment, because he could be reading her mind, but he can't read minds in general.
Right. Exactly.
Is that what you just said?
No, but I did say that to you over Marco Polo.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up.
Kieran
spills what the joining is. Or is someone else?
It was Alistair.
Alistair. Oh, Alistair.
Freaking Alistair. So we find out about the joining, and I was like,
why?
Oh.
Why is this a thing? Because it has turned out to, like, not be
like they
necessary.
Didn't, yeah, they didn't do it. But so, basically, when an elemental Atlantean with his bonded wolven, they can do something called the joining when they marry. They all do, it's kind of like a blood rite type of thing. So they share blood.
And it gets a little spicy
It can get spicy. Yes. But Alistair was basically saying, like, you have to basically have a threesome.
I was shook.
And I was like, oh.
I was like, hello? No.
Like, are we really going to go there in that book?
Like, I was like, really? I was like, really? I don't. Castiel does not seem like the type that would be okay with sharing. But Kieran is like an extension of him.
Well, I could, like, totally. I think that Kieran would fully be on board. I think they both would fully be on board if Poppy was like, I want to do the joining. Because it benefits
really?
Her.
Because I feel like, I don't know what Castiel would think.
Well, she gets, I want to say everlasting life. She becomes immortal from the joining. So I could see why she wanted to do
it. So when we learn that she becomes immortal from the joining, I was like, they're totally going to do it.
Yeah.
But there is some very important information in book 3 that you haven't gotten to yet that changes things. So I need you to read.
Okay.
So I don't want to spoil anything for you, but there is some information that completely changes everything. So I'm like, oh, okay. This changes everything in, like, the joining. Anyways.
But that part,
I was like, what is this?
Let's talk about Vanetta, or Netta, Kieran's sister.
Yes.
So,
love her.
Well, one, we meet her. I really like her. She has the potential to be, like, the new best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tawny is kind of out of the picture.
Yeah.
which is sad, but mm-hmm. I really like Vanetta. She feels...
Do you think Tony's going to ever come back?
I bet she will.
Like, we'll see it in appearance. But they said that she was ascended.
Yeah, my prediction is that she is a vampire now.
The Duchess told Poppy that they had ascended Tani, but she didn't know if she was being truthful or not. Anyways, keep going.
So, Vanetta feels the spark from Poppy. Mm-hmm. She also recognizes that she smells like death, and that was something that we kind of, from some of the other characters, that they
said it.
Yeah, that they said about Poppy. Like, she smells like death. Castiel said that her blood tastes kind of aged and old.
And I was Poppy starts getting self-conscious. She's like, guys, do I smell like death? And it comes up again in the third book, and Kieran's like, I regret ever saying that, because she brings it up all the time. She's like, what? Do I smell like death again?
Uh-huh.
Kieran's like...
But that has to be explained. And I think it kind of is explained at the end of this book.
It is more in the third book already.
Okay.
Like, I already have learned more
about why. But there's, like, this random, like, spark that the Wolven will fill with Poppy. And so Vanetta gets that. And my prediction was that she was going to be... bonded to Poppy, but
Vanetta and Poppy,
we don't know if Poppy is elemental, like what kind of Atlantean she is. Then there's one of the Wolven, like a younger Wolven, that falls and he breaks his legs, so they all go and check on him, and this is when we find out a lot more about Poppy. So she kind of like helps him in her thing. She's like an empath, basically. She can feel people's emotions, but she can also like help with pain, so she can take some of their pain. So that's what she was doing.
And usually she has to touch
that
person to take away their pain.
So she's like, she did it a couple times with Castiel, because she could just sense that he was in pain. But she does this with Beckett, and they were like, he needs to change immediately, like into wolven form, so that he can heal his legs. But we eventually find out that Poppy like totally fixed him and healed his legs.
So she goes to take his pain away and instead, like, without knowing it, heals his legs. And then she's also like glowing.
Her
and
hands.
Everyone's freaking out. They're like, what just happened? And she's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So we learn that Poppy has healing powers, which is very ironic because her name is Poppy, which poppies have
healing properties.
Yeah. Medicinal properties, mostly like to take away pain.
Yeah.
So it's very ironic that she has the ability to take people's that she has the ability to take people's pain away, and her name is Poppy. So I thought that was a cool little tidbit. And then they're like, let's get married right now.
they like start rushing the wedding. Castiel is like, what's his face? I can't remember his name. Jason or something? Starts with a J.
Jansen.
Is it Jansen?
There's a character named Jansen.
I don't know if it's Jansen.
Who are you
it's
talking
a
about?
J name. That marries them. So he was like, we can get.
Is it Kieran's dad?
Yeah. What's his name? I don't remember.
Jansen?
I keep wanting to say Harris.
Kieran's dad marries them.
Yes, but. Castiel is like, we can get married here. Are they in Spessa's End?
Yes. And we learned that Spessa's End is Atlantean soil.
Uh-huh, because they...
And you have to get married on Atlantean soil.
Yeah, which... Oh, the freaking wedding. I want to get to that. But, anyway, they're rushing that. Then we get to the cave scene. And this is when Castiel is like, let's pretend like we're Poppy and Hawk again, and Poppy is like, I don't want to pretend anymore.
Yes, I was like, fine.
We're like, okay.
She's like, let's not pretend like you're Castiel and I'm me, and we're
one
just
step
us.
Closer coming to our senses here.
I know. I was like, it's about time. Like, you weren't pretending. Like, stop pretending like you were pretending.
Yeah,
literally. Stop lying to yourself, girl.
But the cave scene, that was a good scene.
Yeah.
Then, I don't remember who tells her this, but she finds
pretty
out
sure
it's probably Alistair again.
Because he's trying to break them apart.
Yes. So, at this point, you're like, what is this man doing?
Yeah. He's getting annoying.
He tells her that Castiel was promised to another because they wanted to bond his line, his Atlantean line, with another Wolven line and kind of make that stronger. So that makes you mad that that's another thing that Castiel was yeah. hiding from
talking. Right, and so then she confronts him and is mad, but he explains that he never had any intention of marrying her. Mm-hmm. He's like, we might have been promised, but, like, we had no interest in each other. I was never going to marry her. It was just something that Alistair wanted.
Yeah.
And then you're like, what? First, and then he was engaged to Alistair's daughter, and now Alistair is trying to get him to marry his great niece.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yes. That's who it was.
It's Gianna definitely. Or whatever. Yeah. Gianna, is that her name?
I think so.
But yeah, then you're like starting to get suspicious of Alistair because what the heck?
Yeah.
And then we finally get to the, like, one of the confession scenes, which is always good. Like, it's a staple in every romance book.
This is the confession. The public yes. confession. And it's so real. Leading up to this point, they kind of keep getting interrupted. So they yes. have, like, a little moment in the cave where they almost start to confess, and just, like, multiple times where mm-hmm. they just keep getting interrupted. Yeah. And it makes it so good. Like, yeah. the actual confession.
Definitely drew it out.
Uh-huh. But they basically confess their love in front of a bunch of people.
Yeah. And it Poppy is the one that kind of... Is this when she goes over the story of them and... Because they're trying to convince people that this wedding, this marriage is real because mm-hmm. it's beneficial, mm-hmm. but it turns into something real. So she's literally just confessing everything, and she tells everyone, you know, you're right. Like, Hawk lied to me. He kidnapped me. Mm-hmm. And I was really mad at him for a long time. And then I learned more about him and about what is happening and what I've been lied to about. And I have learned to get to know Castile, and, like, what we have is real.
Yeah.
And I want to marry him, and, like, I want to be here. He's not forcing me, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's just tender.
It was tender. And then we finally get to their confession for each other, just them. Mm. And it was almost like a Court of Mist and Fury, chapter 54, like, his mm-hmm. point of view of everything mm-hmm. and explaining himself. And then he basically asked her, was that real? Like, what you said, was yes. that real? And she tells him that it was.
Yeah.
By the very end.
Sweet.
But in that chapter, Castile tells Poppy that he was the one that killed Shay. So
yeah.
we kind of figure out why he doesn't want to talk about Shay a lot. And yeah. it's because she was willing to basically give Castile up to save herself.
Right.
And so that made him mad. And
because he loved her and he believed that she loved him. But I think yeah. if she truly loved him unconditionally, she wouldn't have betrayed him to mm-hmm. save herself. And so he ends up killing Shay, and that he is really heavy. Like, he wears that
yeah.
on his heart. And that's, I think, probably some of the reason why Poppy can feel like this very heavy just grief all the time that he mm-hmm. carries with him, which is kind of almost really sad
heartbreak.
Yeah.
And then the confession kind of continues into chapter 36 mm-hmm. and this is when Castile proposes. I really thought that he was going to propose in the cave, but this yeah. was just as good.
Yes.
So the confession, like, I want to marry you. Will you and marry me?
When is it that he does he say I love you here?
I think so.
The first time he says it, it's in front of someone else, kind of. He says something about somebody doesn't love her as much as I do.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines where, and she was kind of like, huh? Mm-hmm. What did he just say? Like, he basically just admitted that he loved her, and then he almost kind of, like, froze, like, he didn't mean to say that, but it just slipped out, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I loved that.
I know. These chapters were so good. Like, I want to go back and reread them. Okay,
let's talk about the wedding.
Oh, I need to talk about every detail of this because I was like, why didn't I do this for my wedding?
Why didn't I have a Twilight wedding?
Why didn't I have a vampire wedding? Anyway, so there's, like, just so many elements of the ritual for mm-hmm. getting married for an Atlantean. Number one, they have to be on Atlantean soil, and they don't wear shoes. And I was like, I absolutely love this.
Yes. Shelby's so crunchy. She
very
loves it.
Earthy.
She's like, I want to stand in dirt while I get married.
They're, like, grounding to the Atlantean land and yes. the soil. And then it's, like, almost like it flows from the land into them, into each other. And it's, like, all just, like, this big joining.
And she wears a red wedding dress, which, of course, we've talked about, is very, very symbolic. Mm-hmm. And also just she does not want to wear white because that's what she was forced to wear as the maiden. And mm-hmm. she's kind of like, the old me is dead.
Yeah.
So she doesn't longer. She hates the color white.
Yeah. Let's see. What else about the ritual? There was, like, the whole thing of where, like, with the blood and, like, where they have a cut on their hand mm-hmm. or something.
Yeah.
And then that will always be there. Like, the scar mm-hmm. will always be there as and long like as they're together.
It's like a golden scar.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of, like, just a symbol of their marriage bond.
Uh-huh. And then it bleeds onto the rings. And looking at the cover, I was like, oh, my gosh.
You can see the rings.
Yeah, like, it's yeah. the rings. The golden bands.
Golden bands.
And so that's kind of, like, they're joining in the whole yes. ritual. Another thing that that's a part of her power is she can taste certain emotions, and love
that's right.
tastes like berries and sometimes yeah. chocolate,
which I love. I'm like, chocolate covered strawberries is like the lover's gift. Yeah. You know, like it's the romantic food. So mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. Love tastes like chocolate.
I thought that was interesting, and it was brought up more in the second book, kind of how her powers are growing and she can kind of taste those emotions mm-hmm. more. And yes. I thought that was a yes. very interesting aspect to her power, her gift, that she there were different flavors for yes. different emotions.
Her powers keep growing. She also learns in this book that she can now take away people's pain without even touching them.
Yeah.
Which she's never been able to do before. So yes. her powers are growing. And then during the marriage, when she cuts she cuts her hand and is bleeding, and as soon as it touches the soil, it turns into a blood tree, which is like they take it as a sign from the gods that this union is good, that it's meant to be.
Yes.
And I thought that was cool.
The last time that happened was when Castiel's parents yes. got married.
So he's like, this is very rare. This is not a normal thing.
Yes.
But we also learn exactly what heartmates are.
Yeah. So I kind of just want to read some of this because
go for
it's it. It's the explanation of heartmates. And if you want to read all of it, it's on page 532 and 533. But where should I read? Oh, another thing that I loved that I'm just kind of reading this in my head right now, is in this book, we finally see that he has two dimples because he can fully smile now.
Yes, that's so sweet.
It's so cute.
And okay. she like gets a little flutter every time he fully smiles mm-hmm. because she's never like the only one that he fully smiles for, first of all. And then now he's not afraid to show his fangs. And also when she sees his fangs, it definitely invokes something in her.
Yeah.
She's like, ooh, I like that.
But this is kind of long. I won't read the full explanation of heartmates. There was just a lot. And if you want to go back and read it, it's on page 532 and 533. And it's just so good. And it kind of just explains why they're heartmates, why they're connected to each other. And this mm-hmm. was like one of the things that I was waiting for in this series. I'm like, when mm-hmm. winter mate's going to be a thing?
Yeah.
And then we finally got it. Then the blood sharing.
Oh, right. After they get married, they, like, go back to the room. And I don't know why Castile's a little shy to tell her about this, but he's like, there's this thing that some Atlanteans do that's tradition. He's like, it's not essential to the union. It's just tradition. And she's like, well, what is it? And essentially they share blood. Mm-hmm. And so they do that. And it's, like, a very tender moment, I guess, between them. But y'all know what happens when you share blood.
Ooh.
That scene.
That was one
of the spice scenes that I was literally like, oh, my gosh. Like, I was
But she totally accepted it. Like, I love that she's, like, stepping into these new shoes that she has to fill. Because eventually she's going to become queen because Castile's going to become king. You know, and so she's accepting that she's Atlantean and all of their rules and traditions that they have. And so mm-hmm. I loved that, she did accept that. And pff, why not? We know what blood does.
So they knew that the Ascended were coming.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why kind of, I think one reason why they got married quickly
mm-hmm.
and just tried to savor the moments they had together before the Ascended come, because they knew that one of them could die in this battle, in this fight. And I think he, is this the one where he was trying to get her to leave?
I think so.
A different battle?
It
is, because he sent Kieran away. Yeah. Remember? Because Kieran was not their wedding.
Oh, yeah. So how did you feel about that?
I was sad.
I was too. And I was kind of like, I kind of want them to do the joining. Yeah, like, I want her to be immortal.
Why did Kieran have to
Like, it doesn't not have to there. Lead to something sexual. Like, they can
I know.
Just...
I just want her to be immortal. Yeah. For sure. But Kieran wasn't there. But Kieran's dad married them. And then he was trying to get Poppy to leave, but she's like, I'm not leaving. Like, I'm here to fight.
Yeah.
So.
I know how to fight.
Right. So.
Thank you, Victor.
She didn't go away. But then the Ascended come and they attack, and Poppy kills the Duchess, which is a very satisfying moment.
Yep.
And the Duchess tells her some things that Poppy's trying to figure out if they are true or not.
Which is like the whole Tawny thing, mm-hmm. and just basically one last moment to manipulate her and make her question everything.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote this in the notes. What is your prediction of the Wolven thinking Poppy called them?
Oh.
Because this was a crazy moment where they were like, oh, you called us. And she was like, no, I didn't. Like, she mentally called the Wolven to come help her.
Well, I can't make a prediction because it kind of explains it in book three.
Okay. Well.
I couldn't remember if it was the end of book two or the beginning of book three, but I think it does kind of explain exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know everything yet. Like, it explains why it happened, but you're like, how? Like, why did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, just keep reading.
Okay.
Poppy Castiel and Kieran cuddling together? When was this?
Wait, is this in the next book?
Oh.
No. This has not. To be in this book.
Yeah.
There, I think this is when they start traveling back to Atlantia. Like, they're freaking going to Atlantia this whole time. Every time I would write this word down, it would autocorrect to Atlantis, and it pissed me off. To Atlantis! Okay, I just thought this was hilarious. It was, in my head, they were in a tent, but they're not in a tent. They're just, like, in the forest. And okay. I think this is when they're in, I don't remember the name of it, but the forest that has, like, the golden leaves.
Okay.
And it's cold, you know, like mm-hmm. it always is. And so.
I don't know why, but I don't remember this.
They all, Poppy wakes up, and they're all cuddling. Like, she's like, I'm on Castiel. And she's like, but then I feel something warm on my back, too. And she's like, it's Kieran.
So basically Kieran so is spinning
like, gravitated Poppy towards each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
There's a few moments like that with the three of them where I'm like, what? That was intimate.
Uh-huh.
That was
intimate. I think it's hilarious, though. It's like, I really love funny. Their dynamic. And I'm kind of just like... Kieran seems a little bit left out. He needs somebody. Like, he needs his Aww, woman.
Yeah.
Or man.
Let's get Maybe Kieran he's married off.
Into men. I don't know.
Whatever he's into, let's find him that mate.
Yeah.
And then...
She has her crazy dream or vision that, we didn't really say this, but kind of throughout the books, she relives when her family got attacked
mm-hmm.
because that was very traumatic, and she'll randomly have dreams about it. And in her dream, in real life, she was basically sleepwalking, walking around. And then there was a moment where one of the gods saved her. And then this is when Castiel and Kieran were like, what are you doing? Like, why did you run away?
Right.
And she was like, I don't know. Like,
she was like in a trance, a nightmare. Yeah.
And so that was kind of like another omen mm-hmm. that the gods approve of her and their union. And then we get to the very end
of this book.
And I was like, so confused. Like, there's so many things that happened and unanswered questions.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what? Like, we find out that she's basically part god.
Yeah, that she has god blood in her.
Mm-hmm. And so
from Nyctos?
I think so.
That she has the blood of Nyctos in her?
And so they finally make it to Atlantis.
Atlantis.
Atlantia, right? And this is when there's like all of this crazy stuff that happened where she was getting attacked. They were throwing rocks at her. Yeah. And when I first read this, I didn't think that she killed all those people.
No, she did. Because she basically got sent into a trap. They thought that they were safe in Atlantia because Alistair was like, Castiel, I need to meet with you and without Poppy. And Poppy's like, it's fine. I'm not offended. I'll go with, what's his name? Beckett?
Yeah, I think Beckett.
Beckett, who she thought was Beckett, mm-hmm. who was her friend, who she healed.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically led her into a trap where everyone tried to kill her. She was able to like hold, like sense all of their emotions and like send it back.
Yeah.
Like really powerfully and basically kill them all. And right at that moment, Castiel comes back.
Sorry, you go.
No, sorry. Right at that moment, Castiel comes back and she meets his parents for the first time.
Yes.
And they're just like, holy
crap. What have you done?
Crap.
Like, that's what his mom said.
Yes. At first, they're like, what have you done? I think they're scared. Uh-huh. But then the queen takes off her crown and basically puts it on the ground and is like, you are the queen.
Meanwhile, Poppy is glowing.
Yes.
Like, literally glowing. Yes. Like, more than she has ever.
Right.
And so
everyone's just stunned. And all the wolven are surrounding her, uh-huh. like, protecting her.
Yeah. And they're basically, like, bending a knee to mm-hmm. her.
Because yes.
she is, like, the yep. new queen. Yep. She has all of this power. But Poppy doesn't know what's going on.
She's like, hello? And that's basically the end.
Yeah.
And we're like, what?
So just happened. Oh, you finish off this book with like so many questions. Mm-hmm. And I was honestly confused. I'm like, is she part God? What's going on? Does that answer why she smells like death is because she's part God? Like, I still am confused about that.
I am confusion.
I think I literally texted you that after I finished. I was like, I am confusion. What is happening? Who is Poppy?
Yeah.
Like, the obvious things happen at the end of these books, but I never saw them coming.
Yeah. Yeah, this book was so good.
It was so good. And then even just the start, the little snippet that I've read of
Dude,
the next
keep reading.
Book is so good. Like, these books just keep getting better.
I'm only
and
on chapter 11, and I'm like, there's so many things I need to talk to you about.
Oh, I need to
it
read.
It is crazy.
I've been into reading thriller books lately. Right now I'm reading Never Lie by Freida McFadden.
Okay.
And it's good.
Well, that's it for today's episode.
Yeah.
That was a little long
one. That was long. Sorry, you guys.
But
if you
next
made it
week,
through, send us a message.
Yeah. If you made it this far, text us right now.
Yeah.
Or message us.
I don't know if there's that many people that we know that has read these
that have
books.
Read the, yeah, exactly.
But they're good. Freaking read them.
Yeah, next week we're going to do Haunting of Hill House. So make sure you watch it before we talk about it.
Yeah. We are in our spooky era.
Spooky season.
Spooky. What day is it technically when this is released?
It's going to be Thursday.
Happy Thursday. October 3rd.
October 3rd.
Wow, how apropos that I asked that from Mean Girls. Isn't
what?
That the thing? What day is it? And he turned around and said October 3rd.
Oh, is that the date he
or
says?
Or is it October 9th?
Oh,
I don't remember.
I couldn't tell you.
October something,
anyways,
I'm pretty sure.
Like and subscribe. Give us a follow on Instagram and TikTok at eb.pod for more fun content and updates. And
let us know what you thought of this episode. Tell friends and family. And we love you guys.
Send this to a vampire.
Damon, Salvatore, where are you?
Damon.
Okay. Should we send this to Ian Somerhalder? Just the link of the podcast through
Instagram. He'll totally
DMs.
Listen.
It's right. Not even about Vampire Diaries.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye.